Hey, it's Jeff and Jeremy from the Ultra Running Guys. And if you're here, you probably already know that we started this podcast to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey.
And we just wanted to take a moment to say thank you and let you know how much we appreciate you being part of the Ultra Running Guys community, because we know there are a million other ways you could choose to spend this time.
We love hearing from you. We're always trying to improve. So if you have guest suggestions or feedback, hit us up through social media or reach out to us at theultrarunningguys@gmail.com.
And again, thanks for plugging in. And with that, enjoy the episode. And remember, when in doubt, just show up. And welcome back to the Ultra Running Guys. You got Jeremy Reynolds and Jeff Winchester of the Ultra Running Guys. And the reason that we're here is to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. And these have been really fun for us because this is a race spotlight episode. And this one in particular, if you've been with us for a while, Jake Rostas, one of our previous guests, episode 66, talked about a race where he essentially got primal, treated other runners like his prey, and just, it was some really fun stories to talk about. But the race that he was discussing in that episode is the race that we'll be talking about tonight. So we've got the RD here, but before we bring him on, Jeff, why don't you give us some details about the Frigid Fox?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about the Frigid Fox, and tonight we're going to be talking to Dustin Schmidt. He is the race director. So the Frigid Fox takes place in January and is a 63-mile trek along the Ice Age Trail in southeastern Wisconsin. Ooh. I love that they call it a trek. Not just a run, but a trek, right? It's got an elevation gain of a little over 7,000 feet. The race has a cutoff of 24 hours, which is pretty generous for 100K, until you understand and to take into account that the weather in Wisconsin at this time of year can be very, very unpredictable. And so they've got a cutoff that allows for that. I think part of signing up for the race, though, is what I understand is that runners have to acknowledge that the weather can be unforgiving. And so they got a recommended list of items that runners should have to be prepared. They're optional, but when I've read through them earlier today, I think you should probably put most of that stuff on your body. But that's what makes this race unique. And I think it's a heck of a challenge as well. So let's get into it today. Like I said, we're talking to Dustin, and Dustin Schmidt, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me and excited to talk about the Frigid Fox.
Awesome.
Like we said, man, before we started, I dig your energy. We dig the Wisconsin accent. It brings back some memories for me. I spent some time in the region. So we're going to get into the weather and have some personal experience there. But before we get into it, so really the purpose of this, right, is if somebody's listening and they're looking for that next race to put on their calendar, we want to make sure we get them all that information. One of the things we like to start off with, though, as the race director, what is your favorite thing about the Frigid Fox?
Oh, that's so easy. My favorite thing about the Frigid Fox is the community. And I think probably a lot of race directors say that, but our race being in the dead of winter in a climate where, well, except for last year, you know, there could be a foot of snow on the ground. I just think it brings like this special like group of people together in a community. And I know we get that with all sorts of events as a runner myself. I see that at every event I personally go and run, but there's just something different about the winter event, kind of that no individual left standing, so to speak. Like everybody kind of just groups together. Your crew is my crew. We get to the finish line in the greatest number of people possible. So I think that's really what excites me about our event is just our community and the unique challenge behind the event.
I like that a lot.
That's fantastic.
Your crew is my crew.
So the race has been around for 1 year. Last year was the inaugural year for it. What kind of feedback did you receive for those runners who participated in it that maybe there is going to kind of encourage them to want to come back?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, you know, I'd like to go one step before that. So this was the first year as the Frigid Fox, but a winter ultra trek, as we like to call it, this isn't the first time that this specific course has been ran actually in Wisconsin. That actually started about 2011, actually. So, you know, quite about over a decade ago at this point. And those race directors put on what was called the Frozen Otter at that time. They moved away. They were no longer to continue the community, continue the event, which is why I actually stepped in when I heard about this. And I just wanted to like continue this tradition in the southeastern Wisconsin region of having a winter trek. Again, it's like super unique to our area. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, really helped just the community migrate over naturally. With that being said, like there's a lot of things that I think appeal to a first-time runner when it comes to our event. Fully stocked buffet-style aid stations, I like to call them. Like, we have soups and campfires and just basically a party at any aid station that you can go to. So while that is in other areas, you could be in a foot of snow, you know, during our event, and you could just be like eating some soup for a half hour with some these new friends that you've just met, and like form, you know, these big long relationships. We still have people constantly chatting and emailing and discussing with each other that have been, you know, made these friendships at our event. And personally, I run with a handful of the people still too. So I think whether you're, you know, a veteran in the ultra running community or whether you're somebody getting into it for the first time, I think that you can find a lot from the Frigid Fox. And, you know, that's kind of the feedback that we've gotten from the event. I'm going to call it the inaugural event last year, you know, for us, is that the community is by far the thing that people enjoyed the most about it.
Well, I'll tell you, being in the region, and so I spent 4 years in North Dakota, and one of the things when we talk about out there is, you know, I can't say I miss the weather all the time, Dustin, but and I don't know if it's just because of the weather or some of the different things, but the community was so strong. People come together because I guess when it's, you know, 30 below out, what do? Besides build relationships,
you right? Don't want to run outside all the time. That's what's amazing me about this, right?
Yeah. So I, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, it makes so much sense as to why the community there would be amazing, because just that, I think that region that's going to bring it together. So if somebody's listening now, you've said a lot of great things about the race. What we know, the weather is going to be a factor. But what do you think that runners underestimate about this race? If they're listening, what do you want to caution them on?
My biggest thing from experience from our feedback is using the gear you're going to use on race day. And I know that sounds so simple, especially simple for people like myself, like you guys, you know, that have kind of been through the rodeo. But in Wisconsin, a lot of times you're not used to going out and running in all that warm weather gear. And you start to, you know, get chafing in places that you didn't quite know chafing could occur in. You know, we've all heard the horror stories, but it's definitely true. So like using that gear, running in it, and specifically when it comes to the emergency gear, knowing how to use it in the event of an emergency is really, really important. When you're dealing with temperatures that could get below zero easy on any given January, that's just not something that most of us think about, I don't think, because we're out there, you know, and the least amount of clothes possible half of the year out enjoying running. So this is that polar opposite, so to speak.
So let me ask a quick follow-up question. So what piece of emergency gear do you think every runner should consider having with them if they run your race?
We definitely recommend like having those bivvies, those pack bivvies. A lot of times you'll get them at events such as ours if there's a sponsor. A lot of times you can get them for a handful of bucks on Amazon, but it's just kind of like those emergency like blankets, so to speak. Like, think of how it works like in that regard. It's super lightweight, weighs a few ounces, and that's it. You just carry it with you in your pack. Another thing that I really like, because I get very cold extremities, is just hand warmers. Like carrying a couple of sets of hand or toe warmers when you start to get those chills, because I don't know about anybody else who may be listening, but I sweat very easy and then I get extremely cold immediately following. So having just that like extra layer of protection there is extremely important. And then just all of your other regular gear. Some years in the past, our event's been so, like the event's been so cold that you've needed multiple layers of gloves, for instance. So like really just like honing in on the weather. I see you shaking your head there.
Yeah, that sounds like, cold,
no,
man.
Not for me. And that's part of the fun, is that it sounds crazy on top of something that already sounds crazy. And I think that's what brings this smile to my face.
Well, yeah, I'm shaking my head no, but not because I don't think I would ever do something like that, because I think the type of race you're talking about really favors ultra runners that look for some sort of extreme sport, right? And so this type of event is different than a lot of others that they're going to sign up for. And so I'm shaking my head because I'm thinking the entire thing, I would have to rethink how I'm going to prepare for this. And again, another aside, when I was doing a little bit of research today, as looking through your gear, you know, the idea was that you have to make sure that when it gets to dark, you have a change of clothes, because as you mentioned, if you start sweating and stuff through the day, you're going to be basically a frozen icicle, because you're going to get frozen solid. And so they recommend changing your clothes as it gets into nighttime.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And those nighttime hours, I mean, this is the Ice Age Trail. If you haven't had the opportunity to go and do some miles on the Ice Age Trail, it's one of those things I completely recommend if you're ever near it in this state. It is, there's not 1 ounce of flat anywhere. You're constantly going up and down and changing elevation, which makes the time between aid stations, especially in the dark and the overnight hours, really like elongated. You know, you could be out there for a couple hours. Sometimes we see people between those aid stations. So always being prepared. You can never be too prepared, to be quite honest with you. And that's like part of where, like, as a race director, those 24 hours that the event is going on, like, you know, you're never quite able to just like fully take something like that off of your mind. You're hoping that everybody is giving it the respect, especially from the weather standpoint, that it deserves, because it really can be, you know, something quite different that we're not used to, especially when you're talking about being out there for an entire day at a time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you bring up some incredible points. And from experience, I'll tell you, once it gets down to about zero, it doesn't feel any different. It's really just a matter of how quick you're going to die at that point, you know, if you get stuck out there.
But, yeah, it's kind of amazing. Like, your body can still create all this sweat, but that sweat like freezes in places where, you know, you're not, weren't quite sure icicles could form. And that adds another layer of fun to the chafing matrix there. So,
but I think it's good for people listening to go, hey, because we've run races, right? Where it's like, hey, the temperature may drop, make sure that you carry some type of jacket or something. This is an important one, but not only that, like you're saying, practice with, you know, these different things, because chances are that on race day, you really will need these things. So let's talk about though, too, you mentioned some of the aid stations. We're going to get to those specifically in a second, but I, you know, one of the things that a runner, as they're going in DNF, right, it's something we all want to avoid. There's going to be some challenges here, but we were looking at some of the statistics from last year. So I think you could tell me if this is right, but 60 starters, 33 finishers, which means 27 people drop. So it's a 55% finish rate. But there's usually a hot spot. There tends to be places where people decide, you know what, I'm going to call it quits and this is my spot. So if somebody's listening and is like, yeah, I want to go run this race, but I want to prepare myself to get through that, where would you say, you know, how does somebody avoid a DNF, or is there something they just got to get through to help their chances?
Well, I, you know, that's kind of a tricky question, because like we talked about that DNF, that just over 50% last year, and that's extremely high historically. Normally it hovers around 20%. We had fantastic weather. And I mean, you know, like about 50 degrees in January. It was like, we were out there in our shorts and stuff as Wisconsinites. But typically what we see is there's a usual large number of individuals who just say, hey, I'm going to make it to the first turnaround. The first turnaround up north is about 23 miles. We have a very generous cutoff of actually up 8 p.m. for that, believe it or not. So that's quite a few hours out there. But 23 miles in, their family can meet them up there. We got this nice roasty, toasty fire going. There's soup, there's sandwiches, there's any kind of candy you could possibly want, and lawn chairs to hang out and, you know, almost have a mini party. So that's typically what we see. We see a lot of those aid stations going up to 23. People are just trying to get to 23. And then they typically make the decision, hey, I'm going to try to be in this for the long haul. Or, you know what? January in Wisconsin, you're just not my thing to be out here. I'm going to go home and watch, you know, the Packers or do whatever else.
That makes sense. So what you're saying is it tends to either be a 23 mile race or 100K race.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we see that's really where we see it. Yeah. And yeah, you know, we see people who then try to get back to kind of that start line, which is at mile 38. That's kind of a secondary goal for a lot of people. So if they aren't quite sure, but they want to keep going because it's so nice out still, like last year, a lot of people, then they try to get back to kind of that midsection where we start from and where you would head north. And then the second out and back, you would head south. Again, that place, there's a grill going. We got this guy who's like cooking burgers and brats and chicken and anything else you could want. So people tend to stick around, you know, including their crew members. So.
I was going to say, no wonder they're dropping. They're hanging out with the chicken guy.
Yeah, we're enticing them. A nice warm fire, some tasty food. I mean, why do you want to leave that? I'm not quite sure I would.
So I think I must have misheard you earlier. Are you saying that this past year, in 2023 for the Frigid Fox, that The 55% completion rate is higher than you normally experience.
It is high. Yeah, that typically is around 20% historically. Okay. And that's just due to the great weather. I mean, we just had for January in Wisconsin, we had fantastic weather. There's been years where there's been 18 inches on the ground. Right. You know, the night before that's fallen. So it was almost like a beautiful fall day out there. And we just had people who were out there ready to go and just, you know, loving the weather and loving the day. Because to be quite honest with you, a large percentage of the people who do sign up are from the area. They typically come from like that, you know, Green Bay, Milwaukee, down to Chicago, kind of that radius there. So the Ice Age Trail being out in the Wisconsin woods, so to speak, is kind of, you know, how they live and what their calling is. And they feel very passionate about being out there in general.
So I think it's an important note, because if somebody's checking out your race and they think in terms of just the Frigid Fox, that shows just one set of results on Ultra Sign Up, they're mm-hmm. going to look at that and think to themselves, oh, there's a 55% finisher rate. I can give this a whirl. However, if they take into context, like what we're talking about, that this race used to be called Frozen Otter. It was Frozen Otter, run by different race directors. And so a lot of the statistics that you see for this are also based off that event. And mm-hmm. that had more of a 20% to 25% completion rate. Yeah. Then I think for ultra runners who are considering it, that like that kind of challenge of saying, can I actually make that kind of race? That actually speaks to them even more, right?
Right.
And so we've kind of presented this as being a weather challenge. And if the only thing they look at is Frigid Fox 2023 results, 55%, they're like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be cold, but it may not be too bad. But if you take into perspective the other, it's a huge difference. Like 20% completion rate is low.
Right. Yeah. I would say somebody's listening, right, and goes, hey, I want to be in that 20%. Right. I want to come in. But to your point, I think the word you used before was respect, you know, respect the course and respect the event. That's probably also the caution is, hey, make sure you understand that this really can prove to be challenging given the history of that as well. So I think there's a lot of people in our audience that really will appeal to, but also to listen to all the other things, right? And say, you can't just show up and go have a good race. My guess is this is really built for the mentally tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we're all in this sport for a challenge already. Yep. And some people just look for maybe that extra challenge. I know that's definitely something that always comes to my mind is, you know, and whenever I've kind of done something, I'm like, okay, what's next, Dustin? You know, like what can I do? And 100K is on the Ice Age Trail alone is hard, no matter what that weather is like. And then you throw that into the mix and it could really be a fun day for you.
So if you're looking for something different, you really want to challenge yourself and you want to work towards something, this sounds like a heck of a opportunity.
Don't throw stuff at me.
Sorry about that.
You're so excited. You're just throwing stuff everywhere.
Well, so listen, you talk about the aid stations. It sounds like in terms of what is available, you've got a whole lot, right? And so what do though runners need to consider in terms of bringing their own bottles? What do you expect them to carry? And then talk about the specific, hey, what's the furthest they're going to go between aid stations? And are they all stocked the same or some of them more minimal? Talk us through that.
Yeah. So for the most part, overwhelmingly, our aid stations offer the same things. Every single aid station offers a fire, a gigantic fire. We buy trailers, like a dump truck load of fire, because again, when you get there, you might not be leaving. every aid station is going to offer, you know, things like peanut butter and jelly sandwich, bean, like a vegetarian, like bean wrap tortilla, chicken tortillas, all the different candies and the chips, the typical aid station fare that you would expect at a trail ultra. All of that is there. Plus, we have some of those special aid stations like I was talking about, where we have somebody literally manning the grill, so to speak, and frying up something for you, cooking up whatever you want on demand, even if your crew wants something. So I think that really sets us apart. We also have hot soups, coffee, teas. I mean, it's almost like you're going to, you know, the old country buffet of back in the day, minus the dessert, but maybe that's your finisher medal. So you get to the end and you can have some good dessert. So from like a distance and an everything else standpoint, the one thing I will say is, you know, we're again, very fortunate to be sponsored by Hammer again this year. They're going to be doing like the on-course hydration, and then they'll have, you know, some of the nutrition products and stuff. So I know everybody is different. I'm completely different with what my stomach can take. So I think that that is one good thing that I can recommend to people. If you have the ability to train with whatever is on the course that you're going to, doesn't matter what nutrition products they're offering. If you know ahead of time what they're offering, like there's no sense in not training with it. It may keep you from having to carry something. Other than that, aid stations are typically, I'll say on average, 7-8 miles apart. So they are a little bit further apart. And again, this is, you know, Ice Age Trail. There hopefully will be snow again this year. I'd love to see like a foot of snow out there. Sorry, everybody already signed up and who's about to sign up too. But I'd really like to see that for you because that would be fun. So keep in mind that that 7 miles is going to take a little bit longer on a typical year than you would even expect when it comes to a trail ultra. So just make sure you're carrying plenty of fluids. We do have like cups at the aid station. So I can't technically call it a cup free event. And that's really because we offer a lot of ramens, you know, warm up some of that hot water on that toasty fire and have yourself some ramen. So we have to have cups like that because you usually can't eat that. So we will have those available, but whenever possible, we try to minimize our waste. We're trying to be good stewards, especially of the Ice Age Trail. We like to give back wherever possible. We donate to them after the race. We offer cleanup days. You know, we go through and sweep the course afterwards. So we really do try to be those good stewardess and leave like that minimum impact on the environment and on the local, you know, area.
Love it. I would never leave the aid station.
Yeah, that's it. You know, last year I drove out to one of the aid stations on the North Loop at that mile 23 Highway P I was talking about just to see the first person come through. So I drove out there, and as you know from Jake, the truck guy, you know, at the end. So here I pull up in the truck, and I about forgot to leave too. I mean, I was having such a good time out there. It's like, we got other stuff to do, guys. We got to get out of here. So yeah, they'll tempt you, and a lot of people do stick around for too long, and then you get trapped and you have your crew come and get you.
So I am going to ask a question that is going to reflect where I live. I live in the southeastern side of the United States.
Okay.
When I'm thinking about what you said, roughly 7 to 8 miles between aid stations, it is going to be super cold in my world, in my perspective. And I'm carrying a hydration pack and everything. I've been in races where it's hard for even the hydration pack to stay warmed up, right? Do you not have issues where people's stuff freeze?
Absolutely. We definitely do. I have personally, when I run, you know, those bottle flasks, those soft side flasks, hard bottles, the like the nipples on them, like where you get all the actual liquid out, that stuff freezes all the time. The straws for your Camelback freeze. And that's really tough. So this year, we didn't have a lot of that until the sun went down. But again, like what I would recommend to people is, you know, those hand warmers we were speaking about, those can come in pretty darn handy. You can kind of wrap those around it. If you have those hydro flasks, maybe wearing your running back in your pack itself, like underneath your coat to help them stay warm, is something that also helps too. So, you know, just some tips and tricks that I have found that work for me. And I know that everybody else, you know, on the feedback last year, they were just very grateful they didn't have to overcome those issues this past year. So, again, hopefully we see it this year, guys. Sorry, foot of snow and it's going to be freezing. Let's do this.
That's right. And you can't get anything out of your bottle.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Your brick.
I've got so many random questions now because I'm thinking of others who don't live in that area that may now be interested in going. Do y'all have a Facebook group or something where people who are coming to the area that are not used to running in that level of conditions could ask random questions like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a closed Facebook group. So you can ask your questions and not feel bad that one of your friends sees your questions that might live in the Northwoods and you didn't ask them. No, we have a Facebook group. Just look for Frigid Fox on there. Same logo that's on our website. Okay. It's a lot of folks that came over from the past event. A lot of our volunteers are in there too, which is really great. We have awesome volunteers. A lot of these people like literally stay the entire 24 hours to help volunteer. It's a really, really cool community. So now you're just imagining sitting out there not running for 24 hours too. I can see it on all your faces. You're like, well, now these fires and this soup is not sounding so bad.
This sounds great now.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend, if you have any questions, if you're thinking about signing up, or just if you want to know what the heck's going on in any of these people's crazy minds to even want to do this, you know, go ahead, join that Facebook group. But we keep it close so that we don't get, you know, all the spam coming in. I feel like it, I hope that you find it to be a safe community to be there and to ask questions openly.
That's awesome.
And while you're at it, ask them why there's a plug coming out of everybody's car hood, because that was a shock for
yes
me.
Yes,
ask that and then get that question, and then you can ask about the running.
That will actually be our question when you come to do a packet pickup. So if you can't answer that, sorry, you got to go do a lap first.
That's right.
I can't answer that, but let's move on.
So, all right. So what we've obviously talked about, given some of the extra challenges, do you guys have any kind of qualifier or anything like that from a registration process? I really just talked through the whole registration process. Is there anything we need to know?
Yeah, absolutely. Registration's on Ultra Sign Up. I'm sure everybody's aware of how to get there. If the button says register, we're open to register. I will say that historically, just from last year and actually just, you know, knowing the previous year's kind of statistics, people tend to sign up about between this time and Thanksgiving. That's when the bulk of our individuals will be signing up. And that's mainly because who knows how your fall's going? Who knows how the holidays are going? A lot of people tend to commit around that time, kind of before the typical price increase would go up and things like that. So, you know, if you see the registration button on Ultra Sign Up, go ahead, go there. You can register. Or if you're not quite up for running, just go ahead and sign up the volunteer if you're able to. I promise you'll have a good time. We always find something that works for somebody, whether you want to do 10 minutes or whether you're one of those individuals that wants to stay there the whole day. You know, there's any kind of volunteer position open. So that's what I would recommend. You know, just hang out there with that button and go ahead and sign up when you're ready to. And I hope you're ready to.
Perfect. Yeah. And so for reference, we're recording in October, but this is scheduled to drop November 11th. So it's right about the time you're talking about. So if you're interested, check it out, get the information. And then I would say, you know, get signed up and spend the next 2 months trying to figure out how you're going to thaw your bottle.
Get some hand warmers.
Yeah. And we don't have a qualification process right now. We'd love, even if you're not from the area, if you wanted to help out, you know, your local trail community. I always think that's a cool opportunity to give back. Around here with the Ice Age Trail, you can even get like qualified to go and help out with a chainsaw, which is pretty cool. So, you know, there's a lot of cool things that you can do from helping clear trails, build bridges and things like that. So anyway, you can give back, we'd love to, but otherwise, you know, there's no requirements, no qualifier. Just what I would really say is just, again, we go back to that term, like respect the conditions and everything like that. Be confident in yourself and, you know, put that confidence forward and you'll have no trouble in those conditions. And I hope that you find that to be true.
That's awesome. Do you guys take pacers?
We definitely do. Yep. Yeah. We take pacers. What you can do is basically when the sun goes down, we have on our website, we have the sunset time. The next available aid station, you can take a pacer at sign up. What you'll need to do is you'll just need to say that you'll have a pacer. We have pacer bibs, one pacer at a time. You can have any number of them along with you, you know, for the ride and switch out and things like that. And really, all we ask for with the pacer is just like their name, an emergency contact, and a phone number, just like if you were to register for the race. Again, like safety is our top priority. I pride myself in knowing exactly where everybody is out on that course at any given time through our awesome aid station volunteers. And that is 100% top of mind. I don't sleep for the week before the race. And once it finally gets done and everybody is back safe, whether that's across the finish line or like in their car or hotel, I can finally rest again at night. So that's really the only requirements.
He's got medical staff for himself.
I need a therapist during that 24 hours is what awesome. I need to call up and just randomly, I'm freaking out, talk me off this.
Dustin, your race sounds fantastic.
Yes.
It sounds really cool. And you sound like a great race director, has an incredible passion for the sport. And I'm really glad you took it on after the other one ended.
Yeah.
I think it works really well for your community, man.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you so much for saying that. And I hope that everybody hears the passion in my voice. Like endurance sports, ultra running, long distance triathlon really like changed my life in a really, really positive way. I even met my wife through this, like so many people do. So it is a passion of mine. I am first and foremost a runner. And then second off, love to see everybody else succeed. So I hope that's what we bring to the table with this event. And also something different and unique.
It's cool, man.
Love your energy, man. And thank you so much for giving people the opportunity to come out and succeed and do something unique. And for everybody listening, we'll make sure that we have all the notes and links, you know, down in the notes. Dude, we're just super excited about your race. And for the Ultra Running Guys family, you know, if you're new, welcome. We'd love to help you out in any way we can. Reach out. And if you've just been around for a while, you know how much we love you. Our motto is just show up. I imagine, man, out there in the ice, especially, it's probably the volunteers. Volunteers probably show up more than just about anybody. But
they're
again,
critical.
Yeah. Dustin, thank you again for your time, man. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, listen, thank you so much. We recognize the fact that you are probably just hanging on just for a couple more minutes as you're finishing up your run. But really, we do want to give you a huge thank you for the constant support that you've shown us. We hear you and we feel you. And the best way for us to continue to grow is for you to share us with your friends. Tell them what you put in your ears when you're out there on a long run. Hit the like button, leave us a comment, leave a review, and give us some direct feedback on what you like about the show and also what you don't like. We're here to improve and do it for you.
And it really means the world. And listen, if you would like to support financially, you can connect with us on Patreon at patreon.com/theultrarunningguys, or you can use the support link in the show notes. Any and all support goes directly back into growing the show and helping us get better at what we love to do, which is to serve all of you. And with that, finish up that run, get cleaned up, and just show up.
Clean.
Clean.